السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أبو عبد الرحمن،
أبو عامر.
أبو عامر، كيف الحال؟ طيب،
الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله بخير.
Do you want the class؟
نعم يا سلام.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Our last class were about the manners of the Muslim regarding smiling and laughing. The manners of the Muslim regarding at-tabassum and at-dahik. At-tabassum is smiling. And the companions say, radiallahu anhum, ما رأيت أحدا أكثر تبسما من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I'd never seen anyone who smiled much more than the Messenger. It meant that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his countenance was always welcoming to the rest of the people. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companion Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, Yusuf al-Umma, he also said, ما رأني رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam منذ أسلمت illa tabassama fi wajhi. The Messenger never saw me alayhi salatu wasalam since I accepted Islam, except that he smiled to my face. He looked at me, he smiled, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we took from all of these that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has left for us the good manner of smiling to the people. Smile. When we smile to the people, we make them feel welcomed. We relax the muscles of the face, as we were told yesterday. Likewise, he used to laugh, alayhi salatu wasalam. Lakin kana qalil ad-dahiki. Yes, he used to laugh, alayhi salatu wasalam, but he would only laugh little. He would smile all the time. He will laugh only a little. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is from his sunnah fi'liyah. From his sunnah in his action was, alayhi salatu wasalam, kana qalil ad-dahik. He was a man who only laughed a little. Even if he was in the company of people who were laughing, alayhi salatu wasalam. As we read to us in the hadith, when Simak ibn Harb was asking Jabir ibn Samra, did you used to sit in the company of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam? He answered in the affirmative, yes, I used to sit in the company of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Jabir ibn Samura said, kana tawil as-samti. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, kept quiet for longer times. Qalil ad-dahiki. When he smiled, when he laughed, laughing, he laughed only a little. The laughter of the Messenger were not much. He would laugh, but just briefly. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa kana ashabuhu yadhkuruna indahu ash-shi'ra wa ashiya'a min umurih. And his companions used to give poems. They would say poems because Arabs like poems. They would say poems. They would narrate their personal affairs. Wa yadhakun. And they would laugh in the process. But that's for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would not laugh. So when they laugh, he says, وَرُبَّمَا تَبَسَّمَ. He will just smile only a little. Alayhi salatu. رُبَّمَا. At occasions, he smiled. But when the rest of the people laugh, talked and laugh, what will he do, alayhi salatu? He would smile. When he had to laugh, he laughed only a little. This is from his sunnah fi'liyah. But from his sunnah qawliyah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to us, لا تكثروا الضحك. Do not give too much laughing, laughing, laughing. لا تكثروا. This is sunnah qawliyah. the sunnah from his speech. So the sunnah from his speech is that he commands us not to give to laughing, much laughter. And our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ضاحكا قط حتى أرى منه لهواته. I never saw him laughing on any day so much that he will open his mouth and I will see the inner parts of his throat. He never used to laugh like that. So two things. Don't laugh too much. And when you laugh, don't open your mouth such that the inner parts of your throat begins to be seen. Don't do like that. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. As for smiling, he was always smiling. So everything you want to do between smiling and laughing, put it in between these two. Smile always, laugh a little, and don't open your mouth wide open when you are laughing. This is the sunnah. If you do these things with the intention of following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your laughter becomes a means of any reward itself. You'll be laughing, you are laughing, or you are smiling. Well, you smile with the intention of smiling because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam used to smile. And you laugh only little, not opening your mouth, ha ha ha. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam did not use to open his mouth when he laughed. And that he will laugh only little. If you do this with the intention of following him sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you will be laughing but you will earn rewards. You will be smiling but you will earn rewards. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding those who still go about laughing. He says, فَإِنَّ كَسْرَةَ الضَّحِكَ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. See, that much laughter kills the soul. Your soul will become dead. And as we explained yesterday, the dead soul is the one that does not respond to mawa'izah. When it gets a sermon, it does not respond. Like a dead person does not respond to a greeting. If you greet a dead person, salamu alaikum, does he respond? The same way, when a person is given to laughter and his heart becomes dead, when he hears a sermon, he does not respond. As if he did not hear. Sawa'un alayhim. A'anzartahum. Amlam tunzirhum. La yu'minun. So, a'anzartahum. Whether they hear someone or they will not hear someone, their heart does not move. Why? They had their souls dead. May Allah protect us from this evil. So it is the dead soul now that can take the soul of another person. The dead soul can lie. The dead soul can commit zina. The dead soul can backbite. The dead soul can slander people. It can do all sorts of evil. Why? What gives the consciousness, the restraining consciousness? So don't do this. It is dead in him. He's already a dead man. He's just on the street. One of the things that leads the people to this condition is what? Much laughing. So in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, as if to call our attention to another aspect of making our souls to be alive, one of the things the Prophet used to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that showed that he was a person that has alertness of the mind, was that iza akbala akbala jamiyan. Alayhi salatu wasalam. When he turns to you, alayhi salatu wasalam, he turns completely. Wa iza adbara, adbara jami'an. When he turns away once. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not a dull person. He was not a sluggish person. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He was not a sulky person. Sulky, dull people, lazy people. When they turn lazily. When they walk lazily. When they turn their backs lazily. So as if to say from what the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, which was an evidence for his alertness of his mind and conscious mind. This man is an emotionally intelligent and alert individual. Was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَقْبَلَ أَقْبَلَ جَمِيعًا. When he turns to you, he turns completely. What is adbara? Likewise, when he turns to go away from adbara jamia, he turns away completely. He will not turn sluggishly. He will not turn lazily, as the people turn and walk lazily. No, the Prophet. Prophet was not like that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will come under the chapter in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, where Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Babun. This is a chapter. Idha akbala akbala jami'an. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to you, facing you, akbala, he does so completely. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa idha adbara adbara jami'an. Likewise, when he turns his back, he turns away. This is an alert mind. Likewise, even the issues of smiling and laughing that we were discussing. Someone who does not have an alert mind will not be able to keep to these limits. The lazy-minded people, they will not be able to say, I can't laugh opening my mouth. How will I be laughing opening my mouth? The one who will query this and not do it is the person who has an alertness in his mind. And this should be the mind of a Muslim. The mind of a Muslim is not a sluggish mind. A mind that does not know left and right. It's a mind that's a conscious mind that is full of the zikr of Allah, and Allah makes it alive. So it is conscious, it is alert, it is an intelligent mind, it is a calculating mind, it's a busy mind, constructively busy mind. So this attitude of the mind reflects in the physical carriage of the man. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iza akbala akbala jami'an, wa iza adbara adbara jami'an. When he faces you, he's facing you. When he turns away, he's turning away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Bukhari in our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he has placed this hadith as hadith 255. And he says, rahimahullah, حدثنا بشر بن محمد قال أخبرنا عبد الله قال أخبرنا أسامة بن زيد قال أخبرني موسى بن مسلم مولى ابنة قارذ عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه وربما حدث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقول حدثنيه أهدب الشفرين أبيض الكشحين أبيض الكشحين إذا أقبل أقبل جميعا وإذا أدبر أدبر جميعا لم ترى عين مثله ولن تراه. الإمام البخاري has placed this hadith under hadith 255 and he reports it from his sheikh Bishr ibn Muhammad. Bishr ibn Muhammad was Abu Muhammad al-Azdi. Bishr ibn Muhammad, Shaykh al-Bukhari, in this hadith, his kunya is Abu Muhammad al-Azdi. Abu Muhammad, perhaps before we move, we can take two lessons from this. The Shaykh of Bukhari in this hadith is Bishr ibn Muhammad. And we say his kunya is Abu Muhammad al-Azdi. The first point of benefit we can obtain here, and we have seen this throughout this book, we are on hadith 255, and we have talked about no less than 400 reporters of hadith. You will see all of them when we mention their names, we mention their kunyas. When we mention their names, we mention their kunyas. Abu Muhammad al-Azdi, Abu Abdullah al-Kufi, Abu this and Kuf. So the point here is, having a kunya is the sunnah of this ummah. From the sunnah of this ummah is that a man has a kunya. What is a kunya? Abu so-so and so. Ummu so-so and so. From the sunnah of this ummah is that we have kunyas. From our way, from our custom. Someone asks you, why are you called Abu Nasir? From the custom of Islam, is that we have kunyas. What's the meaning of a kunya? When Abu is connected to a name, like Abu Maryam, like Abu Zakaria, like Abu Abdullah, like Abu Muhammad. So why do you do that, you young people today? Because we do that because it is from the sunnah of our religion, from the customs, from our tradition inside Islam, is that we do what? We have kunyas. Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdurrazak, And Sayyidu Waladi Adam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also had a kunya, the leader of all mankind. The Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu salam, he had a kunya. We shall come back to it in this book, Al-Adabul Mufrad. From the noble character of a Muslim is that he has a kunya. And the kunya of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu salam, was what? Abul Qasim. The kunya of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu salam, was Abul Qasim. So my brother listener, what's your kunya? The kunya of Aisha radiallahu anha was what? Ummu Abdillah. She was complaining to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody has a kunya. I don't have a kunya. It shows that it was a well-known, popular culture amongst the people of Islam. That the one who didn't have will complain that everybody has a kunya. I don't have. So have your own. When your friends ask you in your workplace, in your school, in your department, wherever you may be, why are you called Abu so-and-so? Why are you called Abu Zakaria? Why are you called Abu Abdullah? Tell them you are called Abu Abdullah because from the custom of Islam is that a Muslim has a kunya. From the culture of we Muslims is that we have a kunya. Our messenger had a kunya. His wives had kunas. His companions had kunas. And in the generation of Islam that we have seen, we have mentioned over 400 reporters of hadith. And we'll see in each case, we say his kunya. His name is Muhammad ibn Kaza. His kunya is Abu Kaza. Abu Kaza. The same thing with women. Ummu Kaza, Ummu Kaza, Ummu Kaza. Now, this taking a kunya is not restricted to having a child. You can take a kunya even though you hadn't a child. Yesterday, we read the hadith of Anas ibn Malik from the Shama'il of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. That hadith also occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. And we had read a part of it in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited the home of Ummu Sulaym, radiallahu anha, the mother of Anas ibn Malik, he saw play with a small bird called Nugair. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking that boy, Ya Aba Umair, Ma fa'ala Nugair. That boy's kunya was what? Abu Umair. So the ulama say, even a little young boy can have a kunya. Even a little young boy can have a kunya. One of those, Allazina bawwabu ala hadha, who was Imam al-Bukhari. The Imam al-Bukhari gave a chapter heading with this hadith that even a little young boy can do it and have a kunya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call that boy Abu Umair. So this is evidence that even little young boys who are far away from marriage, not to say that they will have a child, they can have a kunya. What we are saying is that to have a kunya is from the culture of we Muslims, it's from the sunnah of Islam. It's from the way of life of we Muslims. So let us stick to having kunyas. So you can say Abu Abdullah, Abu Razak, Ummu Abdul Fattah, Ummu Maryam, Ummu this, Ummu this, Ummu this, Ummu this. So instead of referring to your younger sister, her name is Fatima. Instead of saying, Fatima, come here, you can say Ummu Abdullah, come. You see, some respect is connected to that. So instead of saying your younger brother is Murtaba, instead of saying Murtaba, come, he has a kunya, Abu Muhammad. You say to him, Abu Muhammad, come. Even your sons, your daughters deserve that when you call them, you respect them. So if you have a son, his name, for example, is Nasir, he can have a kunya, Abu Abdul Rahman. So instead of saying, hey, Nasir, come, you can say to him, Abu Abdul Rahman, come. So these are from, you are directing respect to your son, Abi. He will respect you and respect people. Even the way you call him, you are respecting him, Ko. He will respect you. He will respect the rest of the people. Respect is not just sitting a boy in a class and teaching him. It is important to respect. Respect him. You, the father, respect your son in your dealings with your son. You will see that boy will respect you. And he will learn from your respecting him that the way to live a life is to do it. To respect people. So from the ways that our religion has taught us to respect ourselves and respect people is by the use of what? Kunas. Kuna is the plural of what? kunya. In fact, it was a common thing in Islam. We can go on and on the issue of kunya, but I think what we have mentioned so far suffices. This is the first point of benefit I want us to pick from this fourth hadith 255. The second point of benefit we want us to pick is regarding al-Imam al-Bukhari himself. This Shaykh of Bukhari in this hadith, Bishr ibn Muhammad, rahimahullah, one of the scholars described him and said, Kana wirduhu sulusul Quran. Kana wirduhu, his regular daily worship was sulusul Quran. He would read one third of the Quran. Daily worship. Daily. He read one third of Quran. Daily. One third. Kana wirduhu, rahimahullah, sulusul Quran. Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari also, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَخْوَفَ لِلَّهِ مِنْهُ مَا رَأَيْتُ أَخْوَفَ لِلَّهِ مِنْهُ I never saw someone who has taqwa like this man. Who is that? Bishr ibn Muhammad. These are the kinds of people Bukhari learned from. If you learn from righteous, pious people, you are likely to be righteous and pious. If you learn, stick to, you learn, take knowledge from righteous, pious people, bismillah, you are likely also to be righteous and pious. Now look at the last two teachers of Al-Bukhari. In the last hadith, hadith 254, the Shaykh of Bukhari was Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzaki. Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzaki, al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, kana min bukhuri al-ilm. Al-Imam al-Zahabi in Siyaru Alam al-Nubala, when he mentioned Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki, he said, Kana min buhur al-ilm. He was from amongst the oceans of knowledge. Rahimahullah. When al-Imam ibn Sa'd said, he says, Kana thiqatan kathir al-hadith. He was a very, very reliable person. He was a trustworthy person. Kathir al-hadith. He had a lot of reports by which he narrated. That is, he had studied a hadith, gathered a hadith, and he was teaching hadith. These are the teachers of Bukhari. Which teacher are you looking for your own son? Which teacher are you looking for your own daughter? Because your sons and daughters are likely to become like those who teach them. Your sons and daughters are likely to become like those who teach them. I met someone yesterday. So the person told me who her teachers were. She learned mathematics, English, and so from them. So the person told me about their teacher and those that they were in class. Fortunately, I know those people. I know those others, about three or four others were people that I know very well, even before I knew her. So she was saying, so-and-so was in my class, so-and-so was in my class. We graduated from the same secondary school. And if you understand people's character, you see a straight line in the character of these four people, wallahi. So I told her, I said, what this means is that your teacher really had influence on you. She said, yes, he had influence on us. It was a doctor living somewhere around the Lupeju in Lagos. So people have this kind of way of becoming a miniature of their teachers. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, learned from the biggest of men. What do you think he will become? He will become what you have known him, rahimahullah. Look at beyond hadith 254, look at hadith 253. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from Muhammad ibn Bashar, Abu Bakr, Bundar. Al-Imam Bundar, we told us yesterday, what does Bundar mean? Bundar is a businessman. He stocks property. So when the property becomes scarce, everybody depends on him. So Bundar was the Bundar of hadiths. What does that mean? He was the one who studied and had a lot of knowledge. So whenever people wanted to ask about hadith, they went to him to get that knowledge from him. These were the teachers of Bukhari. So it means when we take our religion, know where you take it from. Know who is that person. When you give your child to say, look, let my child go and learn here, look at it very well. because your child is likely to become a miniature of those from whom he or she took their knowledge. Yeah, Allah bless the rest of our children, and bless we ourselves. We are still children, still learning and taking knowledge from people. Yeah, Allah make us from people who will take knowledge beneficially and act upon it beneficially. So we come back to our hadith for today, hadith 255. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith from his Shaykh Bishr ibn Muhammad, Abu Muhammad al-Azdi. He said, Akhbarana Abdullah. Abdullah, here was Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, alhamdulillah. Al-Imam Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, is Shaykhu Shaykh al-Bukhari. He was also a righteous person, rahimahullah. Let us go back to the books of Islamic history and read about Ibn Mubarak. So you see Bishr ibn Muhammad becoming like Ibn Mubarak. Just like the message, the lesson we took in that, but we have to proceed because of time. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he reported this hadith from Usama ibn Zayd. And Usama ibn Zayd reported from the Tabi'i, and that was Musa ibn Muslim, Mawla ibn Tiqarizin, Musa ibn Muslim. That's his name. Musa ibn Muslim al-Hijazi. Musa ibn Muslim Al-Hijazi, the freed slave of Ibnatu Qariz. Ibnatu Qariz was the person, she was a woman. She freed Musa ibn Muslim from slavery. So he used to be ascribed to her. You know, if a person frees a person from slavery, he'll be ascribed to him, like the one who freed him from slavery. We had discussed this a number of times. He is a tabi of the studies. And he reports this hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. What did he say Abu Huraira would do? Annahu rubbama haddatha an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musa ibn Muslim said, rubbama haddatha Abu Huraira an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes when Abu Huraira reports a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, fayakul, he would say, haddathanihi adabu shufrain. أبيض الكشحين إذا أقبل أقبل جميعا وإذا أدبر أدبر جميعا لم ترى عين مثله ولن تراه. Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه sometimes when he reports a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم he will say حدثني أهدب الشفرين. The one who has very thick and long eyelashes is the one who narrated the hadith to him. The man with the long and thick eyelashes. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told me, who is he referring to? The Prophet Muhammad. Because the Prophet's eyelashes were thick. They were thick and they were long. Ahadab. They were long. Tawil. So the Prophet was Tawilu al-Shufra, or Tawilu al-Shafra. That eyelash, you see that called al-Shufra, or was al-Shafra. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was what? Ahadabu al-Shafra, or what? Ahadabu al-Shufra. He had long eyelashes. He was not 15 eyelashes. He was handsome, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You hear it now. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Abiyadu al-Kashhain, al-Kashhu. His sides were abiyad, fair. He was fair complexions in his side. Al-kashhu is the rib area. The rib area towards the tummy area, around the hip bone, that area is referred to as what? Al-kashhu. So he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abiyadul kashhain. His kashhu was what? Abiyad, was fair in its complexion. So you can ask the question, how was it possible that Abu Huraira saw that part of the Prophet Muhammad? That was because they used to dress as we dress when we go for Hajj or Umrah. They wear izar and what? Rida. The rida is the lower garment. They used to tie the wrapper like that. And they will wear something on top. So during Hajj, don't you see that part of your brothers? So that was that. For them, it was a normal dressing. one of the ways Arabs used to dress in the time of the Messenger was that they wore al rida and what al izar. The izar is the one that is below. The rida is the one that is above. The way we dress at the time of Umrah and Hajj, when we are in Ihram, they dress like that normally. So they wear izar and rida. So when a man dresses like that, then it is easy for you to see his kash. And then you know that he has a kash that is fair in his complexion. He was fair. He was bright in that part of his body. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Huraira, sometimes when he narrates reports from ahadith, he narrates ahadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَقُولُ حَدَّثَنِيهِ أَهَدَبُ الشُّفْرَيْنِ. He will say, oh, that man with thick and long eyelashes narrated to me, أَبْيَضُ الْكَشْحَيْنِ. He has a fair complexion, side, his side, his flanks were fair. إِذَا أَكْبَلَ. He has a way of life. He has a style. He has a carriage. صلى الله عليه وسلم. If he turns towards you, أَكْبَلَ جَمِيعًا. He turns towards you completely. Where is that? Adbara. And when he turns away, alayhi salatu wasalam, adbara jami'an, he will turn away completely. This means from the manners of relating with the people is don't turn your side to them. Don't turn your side to them. And it has a small lesson from what we take in Surah Al-Luqman. When Allah says, wala tusa'ir khaddaka linnas. Don't turn your cheek to the people. Someone is talking to you, turn your head away. Don't do like that. Face the people who address you. Turn to face them. And that's why one of the best ways a Talib al-Ilm can sit in a class is that he sits as Jibril sat. Asnada rukubatay ila rukubatay. Wawadu akafay. Face to face with your teacher. Some students like to go and sit long, far away. They'll be looking at the teacher from one corner. That is not the sunnah. You will not make the teacher address you face to face. Let it be that it is one circumstance. When I came, I didn't find a space that will make you sit far away. Otherwise, sit such a way that you'll be face to face with the teacher. So when you will now have to ask a question, you'll be following the sunnah. Likewise, when you relate with people, most people don't like that. When they talk to you, you turn your head away or you turn your face away. They say, would you not rawana? The discussion is in the face. Turn to me now. So don't behave to people that when you talk to them, you turn your side to them. It is not from noble manners. Noble respect towards people shows that when you talk to them, you face them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is akbal ajal. Now, when you have to turn away, okay, you finish your discussion, you have to go. Adbara jamian. He's not sluggish, dragging his feet on the ground. These are from the behaviors of lazy people. But that's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Iza akbala, when he turns facing you, akbala jamian. Wa iza adbara, adbara jamian. This is from his beauty, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu will go on to say, لَمْ تَرَ عَيْنٌ مِثْلَهُ. No eye has seen a man as handsome as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's go back to the books regarding the physical attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet was very handsome alayhi salatu wasalam. So Abu Huraira would say لَمْ تَرَ عَيْنٌ مِثْلَهُ in terms of his physical look, and likewise in terms of his character, in terms of his knowledge, in terms of his being open, free with the people, in terms of his smiling, in terms of his being easy with the people, in terms of being firm when firmness was required. Because when we say be easy with the people, be easy with the people, it doesn't mean that when the situation requires you to be firm, then you'll be easy. No. He fought wars, alayhi salatu salam, and war is not a tea party. So you are firm when you require to be firm. When you require to be firm. That was why when Aisha radiallahu anha was describing that the Prophet would smile, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, but when he saw a gathering cloud and wind blowing, you will see it on his face, his face will change. don't destroy us. Yes, you see, you never saw a man. They said, Mara aitu ahadan akthara tabassuman min rasulillah. Abi, I never saw a man who laughed, smiled, who smiled more than the Prophet. He was always smiling, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet, when the clouds begin to gather and the wind begins to blow, how does it? He said, Tura fi ayyihi. Tura ala wajihi. It will be seen on his face. And he's asked, why are you? Everybody is happy that rain wants to fall. Your own face is changing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, some people yesterday thought that rain was coming. It says, Haza aridun mumtiruna. This is a cloud moving towards us. It will bring rain to us. Allah says, Rihun bal huwa masta'jaltum bihi. It is not rain. It is punishment. Rihun. It is strong wind. Look at the nakira. It's a serious wind. Fiha azabun alim. Inside that wind, there's a punishment inside it. What did Allah say after that? Tudammiru kulla shay'in bi amri rabbiha. That wind was coming to destroy everything that it came across. Bi amri rabbiha. By the command that Allah has given it. La tura fa la tura fa tudammiru kulla shay'in bi amri rabbiha. Fa asbahu. Those people became a people who la yura illa masakin. You will not find anything where they were destroyed except their homes. So when the situation deserves that his countenance change, the countenance will change. And in the circumstance where it required that he smiled, he smiled. If he was to laugh, he laughed a little and he stopped there. How handsome, what kind of beauty will you see from this kind of a man who placed everything in its place? When you are able to put everything in its place, where you're supposed to be careful, you are careful. Where you're supposed to be relaxed, you are relaxed. When you're supposed to be firm, you are firm. When you're supposed to frown, you frown. When you're supposed to smile, you smile. When you should laugh, you laugh a little and stop. It shows a man who has a control of his mind and his personality. فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَ أَقْبَلَ جَمِيعًا. So when he looks at you, he looks at you, he faces you completely. وَإِذَا أَدْبَرَ أَدْمَرَ جَمِيعًا. When he turns away completely. So Abu Huraira says, radiyallahu anhu, لَمْ تَرَ عَيْنٌ مِثْلَهُ. No eye has seen a man like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his conduct, in everything that he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ordinarily, if a person spoke in salah, we should be harsh with him. Abi, we are in salah to jama'ah. Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami had sneezed during salah radiyallahu anhu. He just accepted Islam. But he knew that as a Muslim, if someone sneezes, someone sneezed and said, Alhamdulillah. You know that is lawful. It is from the Sunnah. If you sneeze during Salah, you can say, Alhamdulillah. So someone sneezed in Salah and said, Alhamdulillah. Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami told that person, Yarhamukallah. Because he thought as we do outside Salah, it is also lawful inside Salah. So the rest of the companions began to look at Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami. Al-Imam Muslim reports this hadith. They began to beat their laughs, telling him, stop. Muawiyah said to them, wa fukla ummaya, ma lakum tanzuruna ilayya. May your mother miss all of you. Why are you all looking at me during Salah? If you were the Prophet, what will you do after Salah? Salafi brother, you like to fight your brother over every mistake. If you were the one in Salah, this kind of a thing happens. What will you do after the Salah? Will you not beat and throw away that brother from the masjid? Salah, Salah, Salah. The man was talking. People were looking at him and indicating, hey, all of you, don't look at me. Sukla ummiya. May your mothers miss you. Tell why are you looking at me? After the Salah, Muawiyah ibn Hakam was talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This for Allah. Ma ra'aytu mithlahu. Ma ra'aytu mu'alliman. I never saw a teacher like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For Allah, الذي لا إله إلا هو. I swear by the one besides whom no one should be worshipped. Ma'adorabani. The prophet did not beat me. Wala shatamani. He did not insult or abuse me. Wala kaharani. He did not even harass me. Walakin. All that. He said all that. Inna hazihi salah. You see this salah. La yasluhu fiha shay'un min kalami nas. It is not nothing from the speech, day-to-day speech of people is lawful in such salah. Innama huwa at-tasbih wa at-takbir wa at-tahmid. The only thing that you do in this salah is to be saying Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Yarham, and all of these. And Alhamdulillah, Sami'a Allah liman hamida. This is what you say in salah. You don't say all those things you have said in salah. If you were the one, you threw the man out. But that man, Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami, says, Ma ra'aytu mu'alliman mislahu qablahu wala ba'dahu. Before I met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I never saw a man that would teach like him. And I never seen a man like him after he died. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the companions were used to say that we never seen a man like Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the like of what Abu Huraira is saying here. Radiallahu anhu. He says, Lam tara aynun mislahu. No eye saw the like of Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us take it in another angle. Has an eye seen a man who went above the seven heavens? The Prophet went on Miraj. He was taken to the seventh heaven and above the seventh heaven. Did he see Allah? He did not see Allah because he was covered. He was the Messenger, alayhi salatu, was covered up by the light, so he did not see him. But he was brought near, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he returned. He was shown at the Jannah. He was shown the people in the Jahannam. He was shown the vastness of the heavens and the earth. He saw the angels. He saw Sidratul Muntaha. He came back to the earth all in one night. Have you seen a man like that before? So, Lam tara aynun mislahu. No eye has seen a man like Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa lam tarahu. And you can never see a man like him. You've never seen, no eye has seen a man like him. No eye will ever see a man. No eye has ever seen, and no eye lan tarahu. No eye will ever see a man like him, because no man like him will ever come to the earth again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best of men. That's why Allah told us in the Quran, "Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasanah." He lived for 63 years and passed away. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. So from the character of this man was that إذا أقبل أقبل جميع وإذا أدبر أدبر جميع. He was not a man who was sluggish. He was not lazy. He was not sulky. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We still have some few moments so we can go to the next chapter. I think that suffices regarding Hadith 255. So we can come to Hadith 256. And it's a lengthy Hadith, subhanAllah. I think we should stop here because this Hadith is lengthy. What we have here is Hadith, the Hadith of Abu Haysam. Radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet visited him and he slaughtered an animal for the Prophet to eat. He was visited by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Abu Bakr and Umar at the same time. How is that as a host? Your iman, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr and Umar came to visit you in your house. Who are you? And that was why when the man saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he rushed and grabbed him. He hugged the Prophet in my house. The Prophet inside my house, he hugged the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was looking for the best animal to slaughter. Look at the messenger too, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That man wanted to slaughter an animal that was producing milk. The Prophet said, no, don't slaughter the one that's producing milk for you. Slaughter another one. Look at how fair he was. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The man wanted, let me slaughter the best. He said, no, slaughter another one so that you can be drinking from the milk from that one. It's a very lengthy story. What we have here is half that story. And this hadith that we shall read, inshallah, in the next class, it has a mizah, it has a uniqueness. This isnad of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari is the same isnad that Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi has reported that hadith. Tirmidhi reports that hadith from Al-Bukhari. So he says, Qala Muhammad ibn Ismail. Qala haddathana Muhammad ibn Ismail. Who is Muhammad ibn Ismail? Al-Bukhari. With the same isnad that we have in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It's a very interesting hadith. The outing of the Prophet Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and who? And Umar. They went on an outing. They were all hungry from their homes. Abu Bakr came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was hungry. The Prophet was hungry. Umar came. He was hungry. The Prophet was hungry. The three of them talked about hunger. And he said, let's visit so-so person. So they went to visit that companion. We come back to this hadith. But for now, I think we should suffice with hadith 255. Bismillah, we come back to the next chapter, Al-Mustasharu Mu'taman. The one who is asked for advice is Mu'taman. He has been given amana. Your brother comes to ask you for advice. He's giving you amana. Abu Nasir, please advise me on so. It's amana. Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdurrahman, please, I have this issue. Oh, my wife did this. Oh, my husband did this. It's amana. Al-Mustashar, the one who is asked for guidance. Mu'taman, he has been given a trust. It remains for him to betray the trust or to keep the trust. It remains for him to betray the trust or to keep the trust. The trust is not just about giving him money to keep for you. When you seek for his advice, you're also giving him trust. So people are bad advisors. They deliberately mislead their brothers. We will read about them in this book. You deliberately mislead your brother. You know that the information you are giving him is not the right thing. Yes. This happens. May Allah protect all of us. Bismillah, this is the next chapter. That hadith of that man who was visited by the Prophet and Abu Bakr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhu, and Omar. The point of reference in it is that Al-Mustasharu Mu'taman, because after they were entertained, the man asked the Prophet a question, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet said this statement, that this question you have asked me, Al-Mustasharu Mu'taman, the one who is asked for advice, he has been given a trust to us. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the advice, he also told him why he gave him that advice. The man wanted to make a choice. He wanted to choose between two things. So he sought the Prophet and the Prophet, choose for me. Help me select one that you think is good. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mustasharu mu'taman. Whoever is asked for advice, he has been given a trust to take this one. He now said, you know why I said you should take this one? He started explaining, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you think that these companions will not see it, leave it, know it, that there is no man like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So that was what Abu Huraira was saying in hadith we just read. Lam tara aynu mislahu. No eye saw a man like him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa lam tarahu. No eye will ever see a man like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think we should stop here so that we should take questions for today, bismillah. May Allah make us understand this hadith better than we have tried to explain. Abu Amir, do you have questions with you?
Naam, jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum.
Wa ahsan Allah ilaykum.
Ameen wa iyaakum, Abu Amir.
So the first one here reads, can one have more than one kunan, especially if named after the first child of each wife?
Kunya can be taken, yes, like we said, even when you don't have a child. So you can be Abu Abdullah and you don't have any Abdullah. The second way to take a kunya is after your children. You can take a kunya after your child. Your child is Abdullah, you take a kunya. But if you want to take a kunya after your child, you can only take a kunya after your first child. You can't leave your first child and take a kunya after your second child. So if you have four wives or two wives, if you have two wives, because I don't want to say four, because only men, big men, have four wives. Sorry, Abu Amir. So let's say If a man has two wives, one son is Abdurrahman, the other son is Abdurrazak. Which one is older? If he wants to now take a kunya, he should take the kunya with the oldest son. It is not lawful to take the kunya. It is not lawful to take a kunya. We'll come back to these ahadith in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It's not lawful to take a kunya from the second child when the first child is there. Except if you are Abu Abdurrahman since a long time. Now, they gave birth to a child for you. The first one gave birth to a child. You name that child Abdullah. The second one gave birth to a child. You name that child Abdurrahman. You know you are Abu Abdurrahman. So you can go on with your Abu Abdurrahman. Why? You had been Abu Abdurrahman before you gave birth to Abdullah. So there is no injustice. So if a man has to take a kunya by his children, it has to be with the name, with the kunya of his first child. Now, can one have more than one kunya? Yes, you can have more than one kunya. You can have more than one kunya. Some companions had two. Some companions had two. Some scholars too in the later generations had more than one kunya. One of those I remember immediately was Usman bin Affan. Usman bin Affan had two kunyas. One of them was Abu Abdullah and another one that I wouldn't remember. He has two kunyas or two kunyatan. So he has two kunyas. It is lawful. A man can have two kunyas. But from those kunyas, you can't take the kunya of one of your children who is younger and leave one who is older. So you can have your Abu Abdullah before you give birth to Abdullah. So you're Abu Abdullah, but you like Abdurrahman too. None of your children is bearing Abdurrahman. You can be Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdurrahman, or as we had explained earlier. But don't forget, if you are taking a kunya, don't leave aside the name of your first child. Allahu Alam. The same way you will not leave aside the name of the second child and take a kunya by a third child, if you are taking two. So if you have Abdullah and Abdurrahman, use Abdullah and Abdurrahman. You can't say Abdullah and Abdurrazak. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
May we become big men one day too.
Now,
can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you. I'm waiting.
Listeners, assalamu alaikum. Please, how are kunan given to young children?
You can give them when you give birth to them on the day you are naming them. You can give them just as you are naming them, as you are giving them ism. You can give them what kunias. You can even add a lakob. The lakob is a nickname. Yorubas call inagije, a nickname. So you can give your children their kunyas on the day of their akiko, if it is the day you are naming them. You can give them anything. And now, even when they've grown old, you can say, you are Abu Abdurrahman, you are Abu Abdul-Fattah, you are Abu this. And the child, you can ask the child too to choose. Which kunya do you like? I like Imam Bukhari. But he can call himself Al-Bukhari. That would be a lack of to be a nickname, Al-Bukhari. You can take me, I'm Bukhari. Why? I want to be like the Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. One man took a name like that, Al-Bani Zaria, Al-Bani Zaria. He told me once that he took that name. Because when they were younger, young boys, one boy would take Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. This one take Arnold Schwarzenegger. This one take, so he said, me, I will take it. I know one scholar, his name is Albani, so he took Albani. Me, I'm Albani, and Allah made him by what he took. He became, in fact, people don't know his name. Everywhere he go to is Albani, Albani, Albani. So people will now be asking, which one? They will now say, oh, the one in Zaria. He became so popular with the name. So when you are taking these kunyas also, when you are taking lakops also, have good intention with it too. Have good. Are parents not calling their children doctor? You, yeah, doctor. If the boy is just in primary school, they are saying doctor, doctor, doctor. So the boy begins to think like being a doctor from a very early age. If you want your child to be a righteous person, to be like Abu Bakr, the boy's name is Abdullah. You can say he's Abu Bakr. He's lawful. He's lawful. Why? He begins to think and feel, I want to be like Abu Bakr Siddiq. And so on and so forth. I hope that it is clear to you, Shah.
I mean,
Abu Amir.
Next one here is Assalamu alaikum. Please help me greet Sheikh Abu Nasser. May Allah reward him abundantly for his contribution to the Ummah. May Allah continue to increase him in beneficial knowledge, preserve him for the benefit of the Ummah, make him steadfast and reward him with Al-Jannah al-Firdaus. I want to ask, can someone bear the kunya Abu Qasim if he has a child named Qasim?
We will come back to that, inshallah, in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It's a whole chapter in the discourse, because the scholars are divided regarding whether it is permissible or not, especially if the person now even also has his name as Muhammad. We'll come back to these. We'll come back to these issues concerning taking Abu al-Qasim as a kunya. We'll come back to it.
Inshallah. So is one required to turn and look directly when or if conversing with the opposite sex?
Well, if we converse with the opposite sex, we should keep sufficient distance and look away. Looking away does not mean turning away. Some people used to always turn their backs. Looking away, not looking in the face of the person you are talking to, lowering your gaze does not necessarily mean turn your back. Lowering your gaze does not necessarily mean turn your backs. So what the Sunnah makes us understand is that we face the people we discuss with. You can face somebody and your face, your gaze is still lowered. Just like a son too. When a son talks to his father, will he turn away? He will not turn away, but he will lower his gaze too. I hope we know that when our children talk to us, they must have learned how to lower their gaze when they talk to their parents. The problem is that we're in a generation where respect is little. Even when a younger brother talks to his elder brother, he should not look at him in the face. The problem, may Allah forgive all of us. We all have to go back to the drawing board. Wallahi. We all. When a wife talks to her husband, she will lower her gaze. We met our own mothers like this, relating with our own fathers. A woman is talking to her husband, she can't look at him in the face. Today, it is the sign of love. You are talking to your husband. You are looking at him and you are giving him, in fact, you are ready to slap him. This is not the way of Islam. The issue is respect and personal, a sense of personal honor that people have. It's little now. Otherwise, all of these things require lowering your gaze. A woman is talking, yes, she can look at him. But there is a way to drop the gaze by a way of showing respect to your husband. It does not mean there's a gap. There is no gap between you. But you love him and you hold at the same time. You love him, you hold him in awe. That is the awe that does not make you be able to look it at his face. Even in Yoruba culture, when they tell you that, "How would you, I will look at your face," what does that mean? It means I will disrespect you. And they say, "Would you look at his face?" Today, looking at the face is a normal thing. So the younger brother, when he relates with his elder brother, he looks at his face. The son, when he relates with the father, he looks at his face. He should lower his gaze out of respect for him. If we begin to teach our children these things, it will come back to them. What we are seeing in society started from somewhere. The loss for humaneness, being humane, being a person who has empathy, feeling for others. All of these things began to drop gradually from the home. A young girl does not think that he has any man not to look at. It's a kilo one bell, look up, raise us, look at us. You bring your daughter in front of a class as an undergraduate to come and address boys. Don't you know that you are demeaning this girl and removing from her any sense of bashfulness? So it continues gradually. The mind becomes to be gradually hardened. So, and then the little respect, little shame, little bashfulness. We'll come back to that, all of these that I'm talking about in this book, Alada Bulmofa. No shame, no shame, no bashfulness. Not between a husband and a wife. Not between the elder and the younger one. Not even between colleagues, mates. So respect your friend so much that when you discuss, it is clear that these people respect themselves. So, but gradually, in the name of feeling free, we destroyed all of these, we set them aside. And the society is going to where we all now know. No shame. A girl goes out of her father's house to a man's house in the night. And nobody is addressing that aspect of the evil because it led to a bigger evil. Did Allah not say to us that zina, innahu kana fahishatan, wasa'a sabila? It is an obnoxious evil and it will lead to other evils. Nobody is talking about that. Nobody is talking about the zina aspect of these evils because we think that it is normal. So when they were narrating, she was befriending one boy, the other boy was befriending, they were having indecency. Nobody was querying that aspect. They thought that, oh, that's normal, let's set that aside. So what now happened? But the issue is that one you set aside led to that one that happened that you don't like now. May Allah protect all of us, protect us from these evils. Abu Amir, I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today. The time is already fast spent, and we usually don't like to exceed our 1 hour set. What we have said, may Allah make it beneficial to us.
Jazakum Allah khair.
Amin wa iyyakum.
Salawatun alaykum.
Amin wa iyyakum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.